Hey there, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a new show. It's called Money Moves, and your money is going to move. We're going to help you make better financial decisions. We're going to call out the BS you're finding all over social media. We're going to give you actionable guidance to make your financial life clearer, less stressful. We're going to answer your financial questions and take the mystery out of your financial life. Follow and listen to Money Moves with Jill Schlesinger wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to another edition of Spits and Suds. We are rolling out the content on this Stars off season. Thank you guys so much for your support and your dedication to Spits and Suds. I know I truly appreciate it. Our guests truly appreciate it. We got some big plans in this off season. Can't wait to roll out some big news for Spits and Suds, and it will happen hopefully in just a couple of weeks. But in the meantime, some fresh content for you today as our buddy Robert Tiffin of StarsThoughts.com. And we are going to, after Robert gives his thoughts on the Stars and the Mavs in the arena situation, we are going to break down and educate you that hopefully will help you when you look at trades and possibilities and free agent signings and who you want on this Stars team and who can't be moved. We will break all of that down on this edition of Spits and Suds. But first, let's break down the on-time experts, because I am an on-time experts customer for life. Why? Because I had a plumbing situation. They came in, they fixed the situation. Now, hot water in all of the rooms. That was not the case before. And also, one of my rooms was hotter than the other rooms. I called the on-time experts. They came, they looked it over, and at the same time, I took advantage of that $59 first-time customer special. And that allowed them to get rid of the dust, the debris, the grime, everything that builds in your attic as far as your HVAC system. If it's outside, they'll clean that as well. They take care of it. They could spend up to 2 hours at your house, but you want that. And the other thing is, you're not going to be stuck there the entire day saying, when are the on-time experts going to show up? And I know firsthand that I went about my day and I received 3 to 4 updates as far as when they would be coming. If it was early, which it was, they updated me so I could change around my schedule. So I wasn't sitting around the house waiting. There's no VIP list. You've heard companies say, we'll put you on our VIP list for a certain amount, a fee per month. That's not the case with on-time experts. You're going to be a VIP from the first time you call, because it's same-day service guaranteed. I'm so excited that the on-time experts are the official HVAC company right here of Spits and Suds. And of course, they sponsor and support the Dallas Stars. Same-day service guaranteed. I'm telling you, take advantage of it. I did, and I'm a customer for life with the on-time experts. Let's bring in our friend, our Spits and Suds. He's been with us for so long. He's big time now, and he's sticking with us. It's StarsThoughts.com's Robert Tiffin, also teaming up with Sean Shapiro for Algorithmically Incorrect, the YouTube channel that I encourage you all. You've heard me talk about it before. They have surprise guests. It's a terrific YouTube show, so all you have to do is hit that subscribe button, and then you can watch it whenever you'd like. Hello, Robert.
Hey, Gavin. Good to talk to you. Good to be here today. Thanks for that intro and for mentioning the show. Well, we will have, I won't spoil the surprise, but we will have today a guest that I think Stars fans in particular might be a little bit familiar with, so I won't say anything more than that, but it's always nice to have that overlap when it happens, so appreciate giving that shout out.
Now, Sean on yesterday's, I try to get it out of him every week and he won't do it, but he did say a certain tie-in, so I'm excited now. Mm-hmm. So you have to go back, and that's a tease to go back and listen to the Sean show, because he teases what the YouTube show will be. But you see Robert all over the place. He's appearing. My buddy calls me. He's like, hey, did you hear Robert on Sirius XM? I'm like, the guy's getting too big for Spits and Suds, but that's okay, my friend.
The day I get too big for Spits and Suds is the day that someone needs to cut me down to size. I'll just say that. This is a great program, and I couldn't be prouder to be a guest on.
Oh, you're so awesome. Your dedication is awesome, and I can't wait for another Texas trip, because Robert and I had such a blast going down to cover the Texas Stars. Okay, just out a StarsThoughts.com article from Robert talking about the relationship between the Mavs and Stars over the years. And as we all know now, the Mavs' new proposed location, formerly the Valley View Mall, and the Stars are up next, Robert.
Yeah, the Mavericks just announced, I think they came out with a statement that they put on their website too this week, talking about how they're looking at the old side of the Valley View Mall up there kind of by the I-635 and the Dallas North Tollway, or the Tollway as most people know it. But it's interesting going through that statement and then a lot of the reporting that's been done. The folks at Dallas Morning News have done a lot of good and important reporting with all the overlap of like business and sports and even city politics and things that kind of go into decisions like this. There's a lot of citing of some of the work they've done, as well as some of the conversations I've had with folks, and tried to kind of put that all together just to give a good picture, a clear picture, particularly for Stars fans, of how the relationship between the Mavericks and Stars kind of got deteriorated really to where it is now, and what that means for both teams going forward, and how the Mavericks have kind of driven a lot of this process from more or less from the day that they bought the team from Mark Cuban. And one of the things that I found really interesting, Gavin, is even in some of the reporting about this announcement of the Mavericks saying, okay, this is our intent to purchase this property up there at the Valley View site, they still have this land that they bought a couple of years ago out in Irving by the old Texas Stadium, the old Cowboys Stadium, and that land's still there. So it wouldn't shock me at all if all of the language, and I kind of go through it in the piece, but if the Mavericks owners are still kind of doing a little bit of negotiation, saying, okay, technically we're still going to be in Dallas city limits right there, right at the edge of them, but technically still in the Dallas city limits if they do the Valley View site. But, you know, we do have other options just to try to get everything they can out of the city. So again, folks like you have been here, you know, even longer than I have. So you've seen a lot of these things happen, whether it's the Cowboys or any other team. And, you know, who knows, maybe the Stars, with all the talk about them potentially going to Plano and stuff too. It's just, I don't know. For me, it's disappointing. So I feel kind of compelled to write it up and try to summarize and try to kind of give insight, because basically what it comes down to is there's a very real likelihood that the idea of going downtown, hanging out in Victory Park and seeing games there isn't going to be a reality a few years from now for either team. And so the piece today just kind of goes into how that seems to have started based on what we know and the reporting that's already been done, and what that might look like and what steps still happen to get there. So it's a little bit disappointing from my perspective, but it is interesting to at least go over kind of how this all happened and what we know now versus what we knew and didn't know even a year ago.
I agree with you, Robert. I like downtown stadiums. I wish the Cowboys were in Fair Park. I think it would revive that area. That area still continues to struggle.
Yep.
If you're not in DFW or North Texas listening to this program, I'll give you a little geography. That's where the Cotton Bowl is. And luckily, Texas OU are still there. That's where the State Fair is. But they have not been able to sustain businesses down there, meaning restaurants and bars. Not the easiest area to get to. And I think what is the future of Victory Park? Maybe it's all apartments, and, you know, that's fine. But I mean, I guess that's what happens when you live in a sprawl. But yes, I mean, for a downtown that is hurting as far as, you know, could use an influx of tourists, an influx of people walking around downtown. I try to spend time in downtown as much as I can. It's tough. I think the second part of this, Robert, that's fascinating is, and I know, listen, you have to play to your fan base, and they do what's called a heat check. For those that don't know, a heat check is basically for their season ticket holders. They will find out the areas in which the season ticket holders and ticket holders in general are coming from. And I guarantee that heat check showed a lot of heat toward Frisco and Plano. In fact, when we had Stars president Brad Alberts on, we asked him about that heat check, and he confirmed that, of course, they did their due diligence. Unfortunately, that cuts out Fort Worth and Tarrant County. And I'm not saying people won't drive from Fort Worth, from Burleson, from Mansfield, But at the same time, the TRE, which is a train, was so easy to connect in Tarrant County in, basically. You didn't have to drive, and allowed a lot of Fort Worth people. And I hate that that's taken out of the mix. And I say that because it's called DFW, Dallas-Fort Worth. And Fort Worth is one of my favorite places in this country. So clearly I'm biased towards the city of Fort Worth. I love the people of Fort Worth, and I hate that they're going to be cut off, so to speak, most likely with both the Stars and the Mavericks. Sure, Arlington is very close to Fort Worth, and they get to support the Cowboys as well as the Rangers. But at the same time, it's disappointing in many ways. But that said, nowadays, it's all about the revenue generation, and both the Mavericks and the Stars feel as though revenue generation-wise, they can only do so much currently at the AAC, plus the friction between the two clubs. So what you have is the Mavericks will have a standalone stadium, and most likely the Stars will have a standalone stadium. And there are other aspects, and sorry to take up so much time, Robert, but there are so many concert venues, because people talk about the future of the AAC. There are so many concert venues now in Dallas-Fort Worth. There's a new one going in McKinney. There's the Toyota Center or Toyota Music Pavilion in Irving, which is a big one. You have one at Fair Park as well. So there are a lot of concert venues, not to mention the two casinos that surround Dallas-Fort Worth and the acts that they bring in. So who knows what the future will be of the AAC. At one time, the mayor was asking, you know, maybe we need a new MLB team. Maybe we need a new NFL team so we can have two. And the reality is now in Dallas, and they're going to spin it and say that the Mavericks are still in Dallas, but it is certainly on the Farmers Branch, Addison, Dallas line. So technically it is in Dallas. They'll have to do some improvements to 635, but at the same time, I think, you know, we'll see what the new area is going to look like. It's going to be more than a stadium. It's going to be an entertainment complex. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah, that's a big loss to me. And look, when the product's good, everyone finds a way to get to games, no matter where the location is, or even, you know, to a point, at least how expensive parking is and things like that. But it is a loss. It's a cool experience hopping on a train, and then it gets fuller and fuller as you get closer to the yes. game, and all the kind of hype builds up. It's convenient too, if folks are, you know, even folks that are maybe having some drinks before the game, it's a really responsible way to do that. And then hop on the train. I know of at least one brewery that's literally right off just a couple stops before you get to Victory Park Station, and you can do that. There's a park and ride right there. Go in the brewery, go there, get to downtown. It's great. And, you know, for fans, it's a way to do it without necessarily having to drop $20, you right. know, on a beer game too, which isn't bad. And that's where some of these competing interests look from the team perspective, especially if you're a hockey team, right? And I talked about this a little bit in the piece. You don't have the rights fees that you used to back in the day when Fox or Bally or whoever was paying you, you know, 20, 30 million a year just for the right to broadcast your games. That money just isn't there anymore. You're seeing the collapse of the RSN model. It's affected a lot of different places, whether it's the Mavericks or baseball. You know, pretty much everyone except football, it's been a problem for, because football is so incredibly popular that, and they play so many fewer games. It's just it's not the same thing. But for the other major sports, it's been a big deal. And the fallout from that means teams have to be more creative to figure out both how to maximize their revenue from the broadcast rates they have, and to figure out how to have reliable revenue streams elsewhere. So if you're a team, yeah, it might be great for a fan to have games that are really accessible. You don't have to pay for parking. You don't have to necessarily pay inflated prices, you know, inside the gates for food and drink. But from the team perspective, if you are in a location where that stuff is something that you have control over, that's a guaranteed revenue stream mm-hmm. for you, regardless of what you're doing. And that seems pretty clearly what the Mavericks are looking to do, and what the Stars are looking to do too. And frankly, what a lot of teams are trying to do nowadays in professional sports. And I get it. I understand it. The economics, especially for NHL teams that aren't making the money that, you know, even NBA teams are making, let alone NFL teams. I get that you have to be responsible and figure out how to pay the bills down the road. But from a fan perspective, there's no denying that it's going to make games less convenient for a lot of fans to go to, and certainly not less expensive to go
right.
to, one would think.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there were several times I took Dart from Mockingbird Station into the AAC. I think it was $5 round trip.
Yeah, pretty good deal.
Yeah, pretty good deal. And I think parking probably for a new Mavs stadium is going to be at least $40. You know, one would think. Yeah. Yeah. And like I said, just cutting off Tarrant County is tough as
yeah.
well. But I also pointed out, you know, I mean, Robert, one of the things is that these teams do heat checks. So, so it is fascinating. Okay.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. TNCs apply.
I'm excited to have you on for this second part because so many people, as we've seen with the Jason Robertson news, whether or not his camp wants $14 million or not, certainly it sent the Twitterverse into a tizzy. So it brings up the question for Stars fans, like they want to play GM. So, I mean, your timeline's getting hit up. My timeline's getting hit up as far as like, what about this trade? What about this trade? So I thought it was a good chance to have you on because you wrote an excellent piece on starsthoughts.com looking at every play of the Dallas Stars could hypothetically trade this summer. And I think that's really important. One would think though, Robert, you need to start with trade and acquisitions with Jason Robertson and then do it without Jason Robertson, because that contract certainly will make you think either way.
Yeah. The biggest difference obviously being that you're either at the salary cap or even just over it, or you have a lot of cap space. And that's obviously going to be key to any potential trade the Stars might make, is how much room they actually have, because that determines everything from, you know, assets going the other way. If you need a team to retain some of the salary that they're sending your way, then that's going to cost you a little bit more. Or maybe you have plenty of space, and so you're able to take maybe even a contract the other team doesn't necessarily love, and then maybe that could reduce the price that you're paying. So really all that to say, yes, the Jason Robertson domino, there are some other little things the Stars can probably do before then, maybe an RFA deal or two internally, but generally speaking, yes, that's the biggest domino, and all signs point to it getting taken care of sometime this month, probably before the draft. I think the qualifying offer would be due on like June 29th or something, the Monday after the draft, whenever that is. I think it's June 29th. So yeah, sometime over the next few weeks, I would expect we'll get a lot of clarity. And I still tend to think that the most likely outcome is they sign him.
Me too. I think that number comes down to 12 or 12.5, but I think he stays with the Stars. In that case, the flexibility becomes limited. The thing that you point out in the article that I think is really important for those listening, those with the no movement clause. Now, never say never, but for those that don't know, a full no movement clause does not allow the team to move the player in any way without the player's permission. That's the simplest way to describe it. And those players right now that have no movement clauses are Mikko Rantanen, Tyler Seguin, Roope Hintz, Matt Duchene, Miro Heiskanen, and Esa Lindell. So that's minus Seguin, and Seguin just based on injuries, but it's his last year anyway. I mean, that's a solid list of guys that, and by the way, no movement clauses, Robert. They're there for a reason. These players deserve them. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. And it's part of contract negotiations, too. Generally speaking, a no movement or a no trade clause, a lot of times, especially if it's maybe not like a premier elite franchise player, if it's a player kind of in that next tier down, if they're getting like a limited no trade or partial no trade, generally speaking, that will mean the player's dollar ask is coming down in some way, or the player basically is giving something in exchange for getting that no trade. So sometimes, especially during the flat cap era a few years ago, when the salary cap wasn't going up at all from year to year, a lot of players were getting no trade clauses because it was a way to basically give the player something in order to keep their cap hit a little bit further down. So it's not like those are just being handed out willy-nilly. It's part of the negotiation. And like you said, I mean, players have earned them, right? If you, some players don't have the leverage to get those in negotiations, and some players do. So the players, you know, on the Stars roster that do have those, there's a reason for all of them. And I think a pretty good one, really.
The issue that the Stars have, whether Robertson signs or not, is the limited cap flexibility. And this is not a year. Next year, Tyler Seguin comes off the books, but this year, players coming off the books are Jamie Benn, Adam Ernie, Michael Bunting, Nathan Bastian, and Alex Petrovic and Kyle Capobianco. That's not a lot of money on the books to come off to acquire somebody via free agency, or it really limits your mobility in a trade.
Yeah, the good news part of that is that most of their best players are locked up. You know, the Thomas Harley extension happened earlier this year, Jake Ottinger, Wyatt Johnson before that. Of course, Mikko Rantanen. So Nils Lundqvist, we know, got a two-year extension at a very, very modest cap hit, for, you know, relative to top four defensemen around the league. The Stars don't have a ton of work to do. Again, presuming they get the Robertson deal done. The biggest question is probably that Maverick Bork deal, because he's also a restricted free agent with arbitration rights, which means the Stars would prefer to sign him to something rather than just making him a qualifying offer, because then he could elect to go to arbitration, and then he could be open to, you know, another team signing him to an offer sheet at a much higher number that the Stars couldn't do. So that, not to say that necessarily happened. Offer sheets are always fairly rare around the NHL, to put it mildly, but you never know. And, you know, the way to eliminate that risk is to get him signed before July 1st. So there's every expectation in my mind that the Stars will find a way to do Robertson and Bork, just because they do have so many other pieces already there. So yes, they don't have a lot of money coming off this year, but again, they've got a lot of good pieces already there. I mean, this is a 112 point team last year, and they're not really losing. Last year we talked about, you know, they were losing Granlund, they were losing Marchment, even to Dodonov, who'd scored 20 goals for him last year. This year, their surprise 20 goal guy was Maverick Bork, and he's, at least they have his rights for next year. We'll see how that all shakes out. But there's a lot of reasons, from at least from where I'm sitting, not to be too pessimistic about that cap squeeze, because I think Glenn Goldson's team showed last year they could weather some adversity and even missing some guys for long stretches and find ways to still do pretty well, at least in the regular season.
The interesting one is Arttu Heuru, and he is protected, a restricted free agent, playing as well as he did in the playoffs, specifically on the faceoff dot. So I'm sure the Stars want him back in the organization.
Yeah, my sense is that he actually really proved himself, even though he wasn't up for, you know, the entire year. My sense is that the Stars were really impressed with what he brought in that role. So when you have a player who shows you that he can step right into the lineup, it gives you a lot of confidence. And, you know, we'll see, even if they had to make another move, for instance, let's say, for example, you know, we've talked before about how the Stars probably do need to shed some salary cap if they fit Jason Robertson in around that 12 number, like we've talked about. So if you're sending out a player, let's say Radek Foxer, Sam Steele's cap hit, if you're sending out a player like that, Arttu Heuru's performance last year gives you confidence that you can replace some of that in some ways, and maybe even bring some extra something too, just with everything Heuru did. So that it's a big deal for the Stars to get the steps from players that they got, like from Heuru and Lundqvist and Bork last year. And it puts them in a, they could be in a much worse spot, I'll put it that way, relative to what they have. So Heuru was a big part of it, and I think he'll get probably a modest raise from what he had last year. But I would expect that he'll get a chance to be a full-time NHLer next year. And he's certainly, if we see more of what we saw for his time healthy with the Stars this year, that should be a good thing for this team.
Now, what's interesting is, and I'm not jumping to conclusions, and neither should you, Stars fans, but two of the players that do not have no movement, modified trade, no trade, is Wyatt Johnson at $8.4 million and Thomas Harley. And he's coming in at $10.587 million. And I thought that was interesting that two of your standout players. Jim Nill did a good job of negotiating those contracts. And Harley's kicks in 29-30 as far as protection. And Wyatt Johnston has a modified no-trade clause, which means a 10-team no-trade list. And that also takes place in 29-30.
The funny thing, Gavin, is if the Stars could wave a magic wand, they would probably have Jason Robertson and Thomas Harley switch the seasons that they've had the last 2 years. Unfortunately for the Stars cap situation, Thomas Harley had his best year right before he got signed long term, and now Jason Robertson had one of his best years right before he's up for a new deal too. So it's a situation where, you know, ultimately, I'm sure Jim Nill and everyone would say they always want players to be playing their best. It's not a bad thing for them that those players had the years they had when they had them. But if you could wave a magic wand and say, hey, maybe have Thomas Harley struggle last year, sign an extension, maybe in the single digits, high single digits, instead of getting to that 10 mark after, you know, winning a gold at Four Nations and being, you know, covering for Miro Heiskanen's absence for half the season and even first half of the playoffs. And then have Jason Robertson maybe have a little bit of a down year going into his final year of the deal. You know, that might have been a friendlier bit of leverage for the Stars. How much of an impact would it have had overall? Who knows? Obviously, you know, 1 year isn't necessarily going to change everything, but it does make some difference. And Wyatt Johnston at that number, it's going to be good for a while. He will come up again. That he's so young that, you know, he's going to be in for another very, very big payday. But with the cap projected to go up as much as it is, I think the Stars will have every opportunity to keep him for a while. And frankly, a lot of their core too. To me, the window of this team kind of goes, at least as it stands now, goes till Miro Heiskanen's free agency at the end of this decade. And then you kind of have to reassess because some players will be into their mid-30s and things look a little different. But for now, honestly, I don't hate this team's cap situation. I really don't.
If there were tradable assets, Robert, let's talk realistically, because I don't see the Stars signing Thomas Harley to that kind of contract and then flipping him.
Yeah,
I just don't see. I think they look at Thomas Harley and say, probably compared to years past, had a down year, excited to have Thomas Harley back, healthy, non-Olympics, and we're about to show you what Thomas Harley can do.
It's definitely a conversation. You know, any player, look, the way no movement, no trade clauses work is that they can't kick in, because I think Thomas Harley has one that will kick in later in his contract. But according to the NHL bylaws, those can't kick in until the year when you would have reached unrestricted free agency, which is generally around, you know, age 26, 27 for a player. So until that happens, like Jake Oettinger is another good example too. I don't think the Stars are looking to trade Jake Oettinger, but his no move clause doesn't kick in until July 1st of this year. So the Stars, technically, if they wanted to get crazy, those are two players that they could look to move. To me, moving Harley right now would be selling a little bit low on him. And as you said, they just signed him last year. I don't think you move, what is he, 24, I think? You don't move 24-year-old defensemen who've proven they can do the things Harley has done when their value is low. You that cap hit is not going to look bad. It's not going to look bad a year or two from now, unless Harley completely craters, and then they've got bigger issues. But overall, I think you bet on talented, skilled, big defensemen like Harley. There's a reason he's been a highly doubted prospect for a long time for them, and there's a reason that he was as good as he was when he stepped into the lineup late in the 2023 season and then that playoff run. He was a big part of that third pair down there when the Stars, in that first year under Pete DeBoer, way back when, Harley was a big part of that playoff run as a you know, sort of a rookie, I guess. So I, to me, Oettinger is the one. If you really want to get crazy, he's the one where you try to look at some weird deal where you say, you know what? Look at all these teams that have just trusted an average kind of season goaltending and hope that that goalie gets hot in the playoffs. What if we did that? What if we freed up that cap space and made that big move and got a goalie back that's kind of in that maybe mushy middle and you bet on that? I don't think they would do it. I think it's kind of crazy. Oettinger's a big part of that room too. But yeah, if you want to really get nuts, you can get nuts a little bit with some of these things.
And right. They'd have to do it quick though, right?
Clock's ticking, 4 weeks left until that no move kicks in. Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's play the other side. And I think sometimes We look at our team all the time, but we don't think of ourselves from the GM of another team looking in at the stars. Because I think a lot of people will say, yeah, we'll give you Lyubushkin. We'll throw in this and we'll throw in that. And obviously people know the stars would like probably to get rid of that Lyubushkin contract. But if I'm an opposing, and I'm going to go me first, Robert, if I'm an opposing GM and I'm looking at assets, obviously I'm going to look at Harley. I'm going to look at Wyatt Johnston. I think those are off the table, but I'm going to look at them because I'm coming from an opposing point of view. Then I'm going to look at Maverick Bourque. And then I'm going to look at Justin Ritzkovian. That might be a nice piece of a deal. I might look at Nils Lundqvist. For what everyone says about Nils Lundqvist, I'd be getting a defenseman with two more years at $1.75 million who played second-pairing defense on, like you said, a team with over 100 points. That's a pretty good acquisition as far as if I wanted to get something back. And I'm going to throw something creative that a lot of people haven't thought of. It's a risk, just like the Ottinger's a risk. But the other goaltender, Casey DeSmith, has 1 year left. He only makes $1 million. To me, I think that would be attractive to some teams because we know there are teams out there that have goalie issues. So maybe picking up a Casey DeSmith and getting some assets there could help because you have some goaltending depth in your organization. At some point, you either have to let Remy Poirier go, which will be up after this year, or you give him a try backing up Jake Ottinger.
I do think Poirier is someone that for fans who maybe aren't as enthusiastic about the idea of Jake Ottinger being the rider goaltender for the Stars going forward, Remy Poirier is the guy who could be that other option in the not too distant future. I think he showed, especially this year with Texas. I mean, saw it firsthand, you and I, Gavin. But Remy Poirier he had a fantastic year this year. He was ridden really heavily. He played a lot in the AHL. He might have played the most minutes of any goalie during the season, if I'm not mistaken. Our pal Steven Meserve would be able to correct me on that if I'm wrong. But he was great. He did everything you could possibly ask of a number one, up and coming goalie in the AHL. So Poirier, I have pretty high view of. Again, we'll see. The AHL and the NHL are different leagues, but I think Poirier is a good player to have. So I get that having a player like
So yes, the Stars have some good prospects in the pipeline in terms of goaltending, but for me, the real reason they probably still don't deal Casey DeSmith is because he's going to be 35 in August, and I don't know that the return would really be that much. If he were in his late 20s, mid 20s, then maybe that's a goalie another franchise might think, you know what, we pick up this guy, he might actually turn into something for us, and he can be part of a big tandem, but goalies in their mid-30s, I think other teams tend to view with less potential. So even though DeSmith had an outstanding year last year, and I think deserves probably to be thought of more highly around the league than maybe some other mid-30s goalies, I think probably it's a case where he, especially at a $1 million flat cap hit, is probably still more valuable to the Stars than he would be to most other organizations. And since moving him doesn't really save you any cap space, I think probably he's going to be here for that final year of his contract.
So real quick, Robert, and teams don't like to hear this, but essentially the probability of just running it back and Sagan comes off the books next year and you'll have some more cap flexibility. Do you foresee that happening?
I still think that's the most likely outcome. Now, again, we get to next year in the trade deadline. If there's a player who has, heaven forbid, another season ending injury and suddenly they have some cap space. And remember, the Stars do have their first round draft pick for next year still. So if you get close to the deadline, you're missing a player with a big cap hit and you have the opportunity to go out and get someone with yet another first round draft pick, it's going to be tempting. I would think from the Stars' perspective, I don't know that they'll do it. I think Jim Neal, it really physically pains him to have traded as many first rounders as he has. But on the other hand, if you convince yourself that, oh man, we're just so close, and if we just get that one more piece to get us over the hump, obviously a Stanley Cup would justify the move. So yes, probably still likely they run it back if they get Robertson signed, but we'll see how the season goes.
And by the way, Stars fans, these are the situations when you go to a Stanley Cup and when you go to three straight Western Conference finals. So it happens to every team in every sport that has a run of success. At some point, they have to build from within back up. But you do have to take a step back, and you cannot be frustrated with this team at ownership and management with the willingness to go for it on a yearly basis. That's not always the case in sports, and our local hockey team is up against the cap and wants to spend money to hopefully bring a cup to Dallas-Fort Worth. So for those reasons, I did want to give a stick tap to the Stars organization, because guys, it not too long ago, it was not the case where it was Brad Richards and the rest of a team, Robert.
Yep.
When they were in bankruptcy.
Oh, man. We all remember those days. And sure do. It's a whole lot more fun to watch a team and to say, you know what, this 112-point team underachieved in the playoffs, than to talk about, man, are we going to go 6 years without even seeing them in the playoffs? I'd much rather have the former conversation than the latter. So, yeah, how quickly we get spoiled.
Well, it's a great article. And Robert, also, as we started this program, penned a great article on the Stars and Mavs and arenas. You can always check out all his work on starsthoughts.com. Also writes for D Magazine. Robert Tiffin on Twitter/X and his YouTube program, which I encourage everyone to subscribe to, Algorithmically Incorrect with our buddy Sean Shapiro. Thank you so much for taking the time today, buddy. Always great to talk with you, and hopefully some insightful information for Stars fans out there.
Thanks, Gavin. Always enjoy it.
That's going to do it for another edition of Spits and Suds. Hey, support the on-time experts. They are awesome. Gregory Finley does such a great job producing this show. And also, if you get a chance, and if you could just take a moment and go to Apple, that's where most of the people listen to this podcast, and just give us a review. And the review could be like, hey, I love it when Robert Tiffin comes on starsthoughts.com or something like that. But if the more reviews we get, the more we can move up in search engine optimization. The other thing you can do to participate in this program is tell a friend. Not going to ask you to tell five friends, but if you see someone and get in a conversation with someone wearing a Stars hat, just tell them about Spits and Suds and make sure they have it on their phone, because we really are trying to grow this show together, and you guys are a big part of it. For Robert and Gregory Finley, I'm Gavin Spittle of 105.3 The Fan. Until our next podcast, have a great day, everyone.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.